pattern. I had to shake my head. If you would please join me, we're going to be in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 7. And then when I finish reading, I'm going to let you sit there. But when I pray into us, because we have a good piece of scripture there. So when we pray in today, I'm going to ask you to stand after the reading, and we'll open up our service with prayer and receive scripture. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am He." Let us stand and open our service with prayer and receive God's word in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we call upon you to be with us now in the Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you touch our hearts, that you touch our souls, that we may receive your word, that we may bring to you the praises that are yours, that we may bring to you our love, our devotion, our commitment to you. And so we ask, Father, then as we come to you, that you heal us, make us whole. Help us, Father, to receive the Spirit, the truth that you have given to us in your gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is Him who we praise. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. I love this story. I love this encounter that this woman has with Jesus Christ at the well. There's so much that is going on here that there are times when I look at this and I read this that I just want to be that woman. I want to be there at the well. I want to be there and to see Jesus and to see what it is that he does. I just want that so bad. Now, I know you can't turn a clock back, and I know you can only find some things in your imagination, but the fact of the matter is that we encounter Jesus in our lives all of the time. We encounter Jesus at the well more than we actually think. And that as we look at these words here today, as we look at this encounter that this woman has with her Savior, that we must remember that we have that encounter with him as well. Not only just the time that we came to Jesus, but continually in our lives, that as we grow in faith, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we continue to encounter him at the well. We continue to come to that well, and we continue to sit across from Jesus and hear him say these things and do these things. Yeah, so when we look at this encountering Jesus here, this encounter with Jesus, we got to remember that we are this story. We are living this out in our lives. You know, the woman certainly she has the privilege of being the first. She certainly has this honor of being saved by the Master himself. But which one of us haven't been saved by the Master? Which one of us haven't encountered Jesus and we were rescued from the darkness of our lives, from the darkness of the world? So you see, so even as I desire that and want that, I understand that I am that woman at the well. That this has occurred and continues to occur in my life. I really hope that as we go through this, that you will understand that this is for you too. This is continued encounter with Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this encounter that Jesus and I'm going to kind of bring you some other information into this real quick, just to give you the kind of the backstory on it. Jesus has been out and he's running his ministry. He's doing the preaching. He's saving people, healing people, you know. And that as he's doing this, then you know, he kind of runs into a little resistance and he decides to go back to Galilee. And so as he's going to go his way back to Galilee to leave from Judea where he's at, where we've left ourselves in chapter 3, he has to go through Samaria. So in their day you didn't catch a bus. You didn't catch a flight. Somebody didn't give you a ride. You walked. Okay, so he's walking from Judea to Galilee. And so as he's walking back, then they come to Jacob's well. And as they come to Jacob's well, this is a spot where they're going to stop, that he's going to take a rest. He's tired. And so as they stop and they take this rest, then the apostles, the disciples at the time go around him. They go to find some food. You know, they're going to set Jesus up with something to eat. So Jesus sits there at this well. That's where they're going to leave him. That's where they're going to find him. And so as they go off, then Jesus sits there, and it's about noon that he comes back. And this is an important time to us, and I'll explain to you here in just a second why. So at about noon then, this woman comes to draw water from the well to take back to her home. Remember, in their time, they didn't have plumbing. There wasn't sewer systems. So, you know, so she went to draw this water, and she comes here, and, well, there's Jesus. He's at Jacob's well. And so as she sees Jesus there, then this is when the encounter starts, that she comes to him and, you know, she has this conversation with her Savior. She doesn't know that yet, but she's having a conversation with her Savior. And so as they now have this moment where they're together, I think we need to look at some things about this woman. We need to understand her just a little bit more. You see, there's a reason why she's coming to the well at noon. Because in their time, they would come and they would come to the well in the morning, and that's when all of the women would come together in a gaggle. Okay, maybe not a gaggle, but a group. Okay, so they would come together in this group, and they would all draw their water together. It was kind of a social event. Certainly, they had some practical side to it. There was people there to help you. There was protection in it, too, if you needed that. But there was also then the idea that it was a social moment, too. They were together. They were together, and so they would do these errands or run these tasks or these chores together. And so this woman, though, she comes at noon. She comes alone. She's by herself. There's something different about this woman. That as she shows up to this well to draw the water that she should have drawn with everybody else, for some reason or other, she's not a part of that. Somehow or other, she's excommunicated from that. And so as she comes to the well alone to do this task without her culture, society around her, without the help, the protection of the people of her community, that as she goes up to this well, she goes at noon so that nobody sees her. Now, we remember that in chapter 3 when we were talking about Nicodemus, he came in the middle of the night. He came in the middle of the night, you know, because he's a leader in the church. He doesn't want anybody to know who he is when he goes and sees Jesus. Because he's got some questions. He's had this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus has pulled out of his heart. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's pulling into him, you know, and he's saying, this is, you know, what he's got for him. And so he sneaks out in the middle of the night, and he comes and sees him in the middle of the night. Well, now, here we have this woman coming out in the middle of the day. She doesn't want to be seen by all the other women. She doesn't want them to talk about her. She doesn't want to argue with them. Whatever the problem is, she knows she can't stand with all of them, so she stands alone. She works this in alone. But look who's there at the well when she gets there. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the well, and they have this encounter that when she shows up, so you know, he says, hey, can you give me a drink? Give me a drink. And look at her response. Her response isn't automatically just to kind of say, well, give me your cup. Her response is that, well, you say that to me, but you're a Jew. And I'm a Samaritan woman. All right, now we got it another level. Now we have this level. She's a Samaritan, and so the Jewish people and the Samaritans obviously didn't get along. They had some issues with each other. And so the Samaritans, you know, they were kind of the hybrid people of the Jewish nation. They were those who kind of mingled in with the community around them, and they became less pure. And that as this time then comes where this Jewish man is sitting across from this Samaritan woman, she points out to him, he says, give me a drink. He asks her for a little compassion, a little mercy, and she responds to him by what she sees. You're a Jew. How does she know that? Some of the thought is that because of the clothes and the colors that they wore, you know, that kind of identified him as a Jew. I know we see that still in other cultures. I know in the Guatemalan culture, you know, they run their tribes by colors. When you see the clothes that they have woven together, you find that they might have, you know, blues and greens would be one tribe, and reds and whites would be another tribe. You know, and so maybe that's what it was. We don't know. We don't know, but we do know this, that when she looked at Jesus, she saw a Jew. And it's kind of like in her mind, it's like, why would you ask me for a drink? And if we're not sure, then it says we're Jews and don't associate with Samaritans. So Jesus asks for a little grace, a little mercy. And she says, you're a Jew. She brings up the divide between them. In this worldly divide, she brings up the one who can see and judges by what she sees. She doesn't know Jesus. She doesn't know him. So in our verse 10 in the scripture that we shared, Jesus answers her to this thing about him being a Jew. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew me, when I asked you for a drink, this is what you would have said. You give me water. You give me water because you have living water. So Jesus starts to make himself known to her. So the filters are being kind of set aside, aren't they? And so now the woman kind of turns to a little bit of a practical side. She looks at Jesus and says, you don't have anything to draw water with. You don't have a water jar. You don't have anything to put water in. So how would you ask me for that? But then she throws this on top of him. Are you saying then that you're greater than Jacob? Now why would she say that? Because he's saying he has this living water. He says, well, how do you draw living water if you have nothing to draw? And if you don't have anything to draw living water, do you think somehow or other that you're better than Jacob himself? Jacob was the one who put the well here. So how do you think that somehow or other you're above all of that? And so in verses 13 and 14, this is what Jesus says to that. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This living water that Jesus says I'm going to give to you, it will well up in eternal life. In other words, it will make you in the Holy Spirit more and more and more. And then one day, then when that more ends, you'll have eternal life. You'll live forever. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody offers me and says, if you drink out of this cup, you're going to live forever. Why wouldn't you drink from that cup? Now, maybe you think, well, maybe he's a charlatan and he's selling me bad water. Maybe he's got something in there I shouldn't even be drinking. But yet, as you have this discussion, this encounter going on, that Jesus offers us, he's telling her, this is who I am. This is who I am. And slowly but surely, it's kind of leading up to these things. He says, if you knew the gift of God that was here in front of you, then that what you would say is, give me that living water. Then if that was the truth, if God was the one who gave this gift, and I offered you this living water, then you would take it and you would drink it, and it would well up in you into eternal life. It would cleanse you, and it would continue to help you to grow in your faith. And the woman acquiesces. She gives in. Then verse 15, she says, give me this water so I won't thirst. So that I never have to come back here again where I'm ashamed and I'm embarrassed. Give me that. Heal me with that. She wants it. She just doesn't quite understand what it is. She thinks we're still talking about drinking water out of a cup. She's still not quite sure what he's saying about drinking water of the fountain of life. She's not quite sure, but she still wants it, doesn't she? She still wants it. That makes sense. Here you go to this place, this well, every day, and you can't go there because, you know, these people, you know, they look down on you. You're ashamed to be in front of them. You know, you have this, something's happened in your life between them and you, and you have this guilt, and you have this inability to walk forward even into the social things that are supposed to be yours. But she does. She goes, but she just finds a different way to go. She goes during the middle of the day when nobody's there. Nobody should be there. And then there's this Jew, and this Jew harasses her about, give me a drink of water. But then he's kind of converts the conversation to say, you know, well, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink of water. And so she says then, give me this water. You see, she accepts it. She accepts it. She doesn't know really for sure what's going on. She can't quite get her head around this. Like Nicodemus, he didn't know how people were supposed to be born again. You know, he said that goofy little thing about, you know, getting back into your mother's womb and then being born again. He says, is that what we're supposed to do? And you know, and Jesus lovingly helped him to understand, you know, how dumb he was. You know, but as we look at this and we see that in this woman, then she says, I want that. I want that. I want that. Well, look at what Jesus says in verse 16. He says, go call your husband. Go call your husband and come back. Go get your husband, come back, and bring your husband here. Now, why did he say that? Why did he say that? Because this is what Jesus does. He convicts us. He convicts us of our sins. He brings us through a process. That when we go back to the well and we drink from the well, that there's going to be conviction. We're going to see this. We should never be afraid of this. Because Jesus is the one that's walking us through it. And so as then this woman is standing there, she says, I want this water. Jesus won't give her the water until she does what? Bring your husband. Go get your husband, bring him back. Now, does Jesus really want to see him? I don't know. It doesn't say. But here's what we do know, is that there's an issue with this husband thing. Because this is what the woman says. The woman says, I have no husband. I got none. I have no husband. But Jesus, who... Master of the universe, creator of the universe, God himself. He says, you're right. You don't have one husband. You have had five husbands, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. Well, apparently there's an issue with the marriage. Apparently there's an issue with the number of husbands and who she calls husband and how she came about that. There's an issue with that. Notice that Jesus does not burrow down into that. Notice that what he doesn't do is he doesn't just take her life and start tearing it apart and saying, here's all the little threads of your life and your sin and all these things. But what he does is he takes that because he knows the sin. And he takes that and then he starts to help her to come forward. He starts to help her to grow in that, as we see in this conversation that's taking place. So he says, you're right, you don't have just one. You've had five, you got one that you live with, he's not yours. Whatever you just said is quite true. You got no husbands. And your sin and all the things that you have done. Now, don't you understand this is why she can't come to the well when everybody else is? It's because she has this guilt. She has this shame. Who's bringing it and who's lording it over her? The other people. The other people, when she comes and she comes with her pot to collect water, they attack her in this sin. Certainly it's a sin, but they aren't doing the one thing that Jesus does always. He loves them. He loves them in their sins, and he helps them to find their way through their sin, just like he's going to do here for her. He brings her through this process of conviction, that he convicts her, but he doesn't leave her just hanging there. He doesn't leave her standing at the well alone, but rather what he does is that then he grows her. He lets this water well up in her. And so this woman says to him, "Sir, I can see that you're a prophet." She acknowledges, "You know a lot about me that I haven't confessed. I can see that you are a prophet. I can see that. But you know, it was your ancestors that said that we can't worship. We have to worship in Jerusalem. And my ancestors say that we worship here on this mountain. So we have this argument between us. And we have this thing that goes on between us. And so that's why we can't, Samaritans, be together with Jews." And so as we have this moment then where you say we have to come to Jerusalem, we say, "No way. You do it here on this mountain." So now we stand against each other. And now we fight in these things that matter nothing. That as they stand together in these things, they stand in the things that keep us from the living water. And so as Jesus then, he hears that, because the woman's kind of throwing another, really she's throwing another dodge out at him. You know, she doesn't still understand, but she says, "Look, you guys, you Jews, you're the ones who set this up." And Jesus says in 21, he says, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming." And he was absolutely correct. A time is coming. A time is coming. A time was coming that Jesus would die on the cross. A time was coming that Jesus would be resurrected from the dead. A time was coming that we would understand completely, nailed to the cross, all of our sins. And we would be convicted by that. That one man would have to die for so many. That one man, God himself, would come into the world and make himself less God. So that we, the women at the well, could have living water. Peter later would be sitting in front of Jesus, and Jesus would say, "Here, let me wash your feet." And Peter said, "No, Lord, not you. You don't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "But if you don't let me clean you, you don't let me care for you, you don't let me love you, then what will happen is that you won't be in the kingdom of heaven with me." And Peter says, "Then not my feet, all my whole body. Do all of me, Jesus." And when we stand at the well and we wait to drink from this, are we saying, is that our desire? "Give me the whole pot, Jesus, not just a cup." But Jesus says that time is coming that you won't worship in one place or the other. That's not what God is looking for. He says, "Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that God is looking for. Those who come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those who come in the Holy Spirit and give themselves to Jesus Christ. Those who listen to the truth and live in the truth. Those who recognize that the truth belongs to Jesus. And Jesus alone." Just as he speaks to the woman in the well, he speaks to us. He says, "This is who I am. This is the truth. I have the living water that you need. Will you drink from this well?" And in verse 25, the woman says, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." When Jesus comes, the Messiah, Christ comes, he will explain it to us. Jesus says, "I, the one speaking to you, I am He, the Messiah, Christ, has come." The one thing that she was waiting for, the one thing that she hoped for, was standing right in front of her. Right in front of her. And He was saying to her, "Drink from this well." And I think, well, you know, that would be awesome, wonderful that we could have that. That'd be awesome, wonderful that we could stand in front of Jesus and He would offer us to drink from that well. I wish I'd have been there. But then we have to remember that it's not done. Jesus is coming again. He will return. And so as we stand there at the well, He says, "Drink from the well. Drink from the well. Be the true worshipers, the worshipers who come here to worship Christ in spirit and in truth. Those filled with the well water. Those filled with the Holy Spirit. Those who know Jesus." I can't imagine what it would be like never to go to the well. I can't imagine what it would ever be like So here's what I would challenge you to do. When you go to the well, drink from it. Drink from the well. That is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, who gives you eternal life through living water. Loved ones, if you don't know Jesus, if you come to the well but you don't drink, please, please, I beg you, please do not let the afternoon go by that you don't drink from that well to have eternal life welling up in you. Please know Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you so much for this time. I thank you, Lord, that you just give us so many things in our lives, and especially your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we ask now, Father, that you just bless us in your words and in your truth. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless us in your sacrifice for those who are unworthy of you. And so we thank you, Father, for your words, and we ask now that you help us to drink from the well. In Jesus' name, amen.